welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm your host, Margot Joy Denader. I'm a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am super happy to have Jim Chemo West back as my guest for Live Your Music today. Tune in for a conversation about Hawaiian-style music, winning a Grammy, touring with Weird Al, the Weird Al movie, and Jim's Hawaiian Christmas albums during the show. Aloha, Jim. Welcome.
Aloha, Margot. How's it going?
Oh, it's going so great, and especially because I'm talking to you. So, yeah, I always love having you on the show. I have lost track of how many times I've had you on, but I wanted to make sure to have you on just before December so that it could be, you know, we could talk about Christmas along with talking about your Weird Al tour and also talking about your awesome albums that I love so much, all of them. So, yeah, I'm really excited.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, as usual. It's always a blast.
Yeah, we always have fun. I think because it's something I'm super curious about, and I'm sure that a lot of other people are curious about it as well, I thought we'd start out with talking a little bit about Weird Al, the tour, and also the movie. And I have,
right.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention that I usually play whole songs during the show, but I'm going to this time just play like 30 seconds of each song that goes with the different segments. And I have Yoda from Weird Al queued up. Do you want to talk a little bit about the tour first, or do you want me to play a little bit of Yoda first?
Oh, yeah, we can talk about the tour. You know, it was the longest tour any of us have ever done. It was 6 months, if you can believe that. And 133 shows and 120 something cities. It was quite the tour. We covered basically U.S. and Canada, and mostly sold out. We started in early April, and we ended on October 29th at Carnegie Hall, which was also sold out. So quite a special night. You know, we played a lot of great venues, including the Kennedy Center and all kinds of wonderful venues. But of course, Carnegie Hall, we'd never played before, and that was just really, really special. And you know, there were some celebs there, and that was just a magical night. But yeah, we survived it. I mean, a number of us got COVID during the tour, just like most tours. But I managed to play all the shows, even when I had COVID, which I had twice, actually. I got kind of a rebound after having it for a week. But I managed to keep playing the shows. They had me set up in a room off stage. So I had my guitars and all my stuff off stage. And we use in-ear monitors, you know, so I could hear the whole show. I just couldn't see anybody.
Wow.
But it went fine. I was able to, I didn't have to get dressed up. You know, I could play in my underwear if I wanted. But it worked out, and I guess I was the only one who didn't miss any shows, because Al got COVID first, and we had to cancel 4 shows, and then I got it because I sit right next to him on stage.
Right.
But, you know, eventually we pretty much all got it, and some people had people fill in for them and stuff like that. But I actually played all the shows. I think I was the only one who played all the shows.
Wow. Okay, so now hopefully you guys were all vaccinated and boosted, too, so that you didn't get it as badly. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody got really super sick. You know, we just, it just was something where, you know, the policy, we had a pretty rigid COVID protocol where we were testing every day and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so if somebody got sick, we couldn't have them on the stage or on the tour bus. And,
right.
You know, so they had these rules. So, you know, I did, there were some hiccups, but, you know, a lot of tours just were outright canceled, you know, but we managed to keep plugging away and did 133 out of 137 shows.
Wow. That's just incredible. And, you know, I had not gotten COVID until it was on October 11th. All of a sudden, I started feeling really off and tested for it. And sure enough, I had gotten it. And that knocked me out. The main symptom I had was an extreme fatigue. So, you know, I was in bed for several days. Didn't even feel like I wanted to or could get up and take a shower. So the fact that you could play the guitar for the shows, even in another room, it just amazes me.
The playing of the guitar. I've played on stage feeling a lot worse, and the playing is not hard at all. It's singing, because I have a lot of singing in the show, and so when you're expending a lot of, you know, that kind of energy, breath energy, and you have something like COVID, then it's a little more demanding. You know, it's a little tougher. But that being said, like I said, I've played on stage feeling much worse, and it was not that bad, a big a deal for me, really. You know, so, but I'm glad it's over with, and I was able to jump over to Kauai for a couple of weeks to recuperate from the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I love is I follow you on Facebook and also on Instagram, and I love seeing all the pictures that you post. You know, especially on Facebook, it seems like you post a lot of pictures in each city that you were on the tour, and it was so interesting to be able to see where you were, and then you always go out and wander around and walk around or whatever and have all these pictures of the area and of the place where you're going to be performing as well. So it felt like I was on the tour with you.
Yeah, I've had a few people say that. I just love taking pictures, and it's just a hobby, and you know, I love exploring and getting out. Of course, during COVID, when I had COVID, I wasn't able to get out, so there weren't many pictures. There were some. I did post some pictures of my, you know, isolation room at the show. You know, I did have a couple of pictures and videos of that, but there was a gap there of a couple weeks where I wasn't posting many pictures. But otherwise, I like to get out, and every so often you're in a place where there's just, you know, you're stuck in a location where there's nothing interesting. But usually I find something to, you know, somewhere to go and walk or ride my bike. I carry a small folding bike on the tour with me, so I get out when I can and ride the bike and explore a bit.
That was another one of my questions that I was curious about is, so when you guys do these tours, do you do it from a tour bus? How do you do it?
It's almost all buses. We'll fly into where the first gig is and fly back. I think there might have been a couple of flights within the tour as well, but generally we have a couple of leased tour buses. The one bus is for the crew and one is for the band, because we have different schedules, and they're, you know, they're customized, super deluxe, you know, with kitchens and home entertainment and bunks where you can sleep, the compartments where you can sleep. But we all travel overnight. So most tours are like this, bus tours, where you finish the show. And then we also have a semi with us, a big truck, and that carries all the gear and stage stuff. And so when that's loaded, once they get the truck loaded, then we all head out and to the next city. And the band goes to a hotel, and then we're there until maybe 4 p.m. or something like that. And then we get picked up and check out and go to the venue and do it all over again.
Wow. That just amazes me, the whole idea of what it would be like to be on tour for that long. And, oh, my gosh, just amazing. So,
well,
now,
you know, used to it. I kind of have a system, you know. So it's okay. I'd rather be on the bus than flying, going to airports every day, you know. I like being on the bus. Most of the travel is overnight, so you don't get to see anything. But still, it's a convenient way of traveling.
Wow, it sounds like pretty amazing. Bus too. I would have loved to. Did you post any pictures of that?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably not.
I probably posted a few of the outside of the bus, probably not so much on the inside.
Well, I think that I'd like to talk a little bit about the movie, too, because the movie just came out. At, I don't even remember what date it was, like the beginning of November,
was,
I think it was, that
right,
it came out.
Yeah, it came out on November 4th, right. Yeah. Well, it's called Weird, and it's basically a, you know, a biopic about Al. You know, takes place in sort of his early part of his career. But it's, you know, it was written by Al and the director, Eric Appel, and they, you know, it's a biopic, but, you know, it's essentially a parody of a biopic. So there's not a lot in the movie that's actually true. It's a lot of really crazy made up stuff. And Daniel Radcliffe plays Al, and he does a great job. And there are actors actually playing the band. So there's somebody playing me in the movie as well, which is kind of
I saw the movie.
Feeling.
It was so cool.
Yeah, so it has been Roku's biggest success. It's going to be now distributed internationally by Village Roadshow. They just signed a deal to put it into a bunch of different countries, and that'll actually be nice because we will be going to Europe next year and possibly Australia as well.
So another tour next year?
Yeah, but not 6 months. This would be more like a couple months or something like that.
Okay,
so,
that sounds a lot more doable. And it sounds like some fun places to go, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the movie's very funny. It's I've seen it twice. I got to see it on the big screen at the Philadelphia Film Festival. And it is hilarious. I haven't laughed so much in a movie for a long time. It's really, really hilarious. And there's a lot of inside stuff, of course. And it's just and a lot of cameos by famous people. You know, there's, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is in there and Jack Black and, you know, all kinds of, you know, famous people are in the movie doing cameos.
Mm-hmm.
Alice Cooper.
It's just a wild movie, and we loved it. You know, we loved it, and Xander loved it. And, you know, it was funny, though, because I didn't realize before we started watching it that it was going to be a parody as well. You know? I think it took me until approximately the time when they were talking about how Michael Jackson had stolen Beat It from Weird Al's Eat It. And I'm going, wait a minute. I know Beat It came out first.
It's pretty much, you know, there are a few things that are true in there, not many, but it is hilarious, very funny movie.
And I just love how he does that, how he does the songs. It's just amazing. And I want to play 30 seconds of Yoda from Weird Al.
Sure.
So that we can talk about that and, you know, talk more about how he does the songs. So I'm going to do approximately 30 minutes of Yoda, and then we'll talk some more.
All righty.
I met them in a swamp down in Dagobah, where it bubbles all the time like a giant carbonated soda. S-O-D-A, soda. I saw the little wren sitting there on a log. I asked him his name, and in a raspy voice he said, Yoda. Y-O-D-A, Yoda. Yo-yo.
Oh, I felt I wanted to keep going. I love that song.
Yeah, it's a very old song from, you know, from way back, but it's very popular with the fans, and we often put it in the encore, or at least some of the song in the encore.
Mm-hmm.
But people really people love that one. It's classic. It's classic Weird Al.
Well, it was thanks to our son Xander knowing about Weird Al originally back when he was, I think it, when Xander was a teenager or maybe preteen even. I don't know. I can't remember how long ago it was. But I remember him playing those some of those songs for us, and, you know, Eat It, Another One Rides the Bus, and all these other songs.
Yeah.
I have to say that in some cases I definitely like Weird Al's version better because they're humorous. You know?
Yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of people, like Al says, you know, a lot of people will, after seeing the Al show, then, you know, they go to their concert and I'll go, well, that was good, but it wasn't very funny. But Al's a good, he's a great craftsman. And, you know, there are songs that he's parodied where his version is definitely better lyrically, where, you know, the song might just have a very simplistic lyric and repetitive or something, and then he comes in and creates this whole new story around the music. And many people say that they like Al's versions better than the original. And in fact, some kids say that they didn't even know the original. They heard Al's first, and then they heard the original, and they were going, wait a minute, what's this? This is not very funny, you know?
Yeah, and maybe they're not funny, but it one of the things the movie shows, and it's true, is it really gets people to realize, you know, original songs get even more popular because more people find out about them.
Yeah, it's true. I never knew there was, you know, they talk about, you know, this Yankovic bump, you know, where, you know, I thought they were just making that up in the movie, but it turns out that it's actually true. Al was saying that when he did the Nirvana parody, Smells Like Nirvana, he got a message for a call from their record label saying, you know, thank you, we've because your single, you know, blew up on radio and MTV, that we all of a sudden, you know, we've sold another million units.
Only another million, right? Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, so I thought that was sort of a joke in the movie, but I guess it was an actual statistical thing that when Al has a big hit, oftentimes the original song that he's parodied all of a sudden, you know, jumps in sales as well.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the things that is true, or sort at least based on true, it's all in a way based on what's true, but is you and Steve, is it? Being part of, yeah, you being with him since the beginning, right? I mean, was that a little bit
almost,
like,
yeah,
it really happened?
Yeah,
or?
Well, you know, we weren't roommates and, you know, in a dorm, which is how it is in the movie, but but we, and Al had already, you know, been, when I met Al, he had already been, you know, doing, he'd pretty much recorded his first album and had already had a couple songs on the radio, and, you know, his career was already established by the time I met him, you know. But,
wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, a lot of storyline there in the movie that's not true, but it's all meant to be.
Yeah,
you know,
it's based
it's
on
it's
true.
All meant
it's
to be
just
fictional.
Yeah. You know, time is flying by. We've only got 11 minutes left. So anyway, I also wanted to play a few, about 30 seconds of a song from your Peaceful World album, and I still love that album so much, and I listen to it all the time, and
you.
I can't pronounce the Hawaiian title, which is so big and beautiful on the cover, the beautiful cover. So.
Oh, yeah, it's called Kahonua Maluhia, which means the Peaceful World.
Yeah, it has become one of my most favorite ones to listen to. The CD in the car, but also on Spotify, I like to listen to it just while I'm working because it calms me and it makes me feel so in the moment and so peaceful. And I don't know, it just,
well,
like
I guess, you know, it's
my creativity too.
Yeah, I guess it translates because, you know, when I play guitar, I kind of, for me, it's kind of a bit of a meditation, and just, you know, it when I play flat key, just sitting around playing it, it just makes me feel good and feel calm, and there's something about it, you know, just the resonance of it that makes me feel good. So I guess, you know, kind of translates after it's been recorded, you know, hopefully
it does. Oh, yeah. Well, let me play 30 seconds or so of that one, and then we can talk a little bit more about that.
Sure.
I would love to play the whole thing if we had lots of time, but yeah, that just hearing it, it's like it makes me start calming down and feeling peaceful and happy.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I was just playing.
The only complaint I have about the album is when I'm listening to it in my office is that it's over too soon. You know, I mean, so I end up putting it on a second time a lot of times. I think what I need to do is create a playlist that has your other albums so it goes into that, because sometimes it goes into like miscellaneous things that I don't like.
Right,
as well.
Yeah, you can just make a playlist and put whatever you want, and then it can go on. You know, I have 11 CDs, so it could go on for quite a while.
Oh, I know. And I love that we can get the CDs still from you on your website at jimchemowest.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I love that little flash drive that has the songs and the albums on it.
That's something that I came out with a while back, because a lot of people don't have CD players anymore, and these little USB flash drives, a lot of cars now, most newer cars have a USB port, you know, where you can plug your phone in, and so when you know these USB drives, when you plug it in, it'll play through your car's system, you know. I mean, it varies from maker to maker, but basically they plug in and you can listen to them in your car. So on the USB drives, I have all 11 of my CDs, you know, in both MP3 and Waves, if you want the high fidelity, the CD quality. And then there's also the album artwork. And then there's also a bunch of my singles that aren't on albums. There's a number of singles that are on there. So I think it's like $59.95, and it has, it comes in like a little engraved wooden box, and it's a little guitar-shaped USB that has my name on it. It's kind of a nice little product, I sell a lot of them. They've been really, really popular because, like I say, especially because a lot of people don't have CD players. So,
right? Do they have Christmas albums on there as well?
Oh yeah, I have all my albums. Yeah, everyone.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it has the Christmas ones as well. On my website, you can get it on my website. There's also a what we call a standard USB, which is essentially the same one. I think it has it, but it does. It's not the fancy box, you know, and everything. It's just a very simple wooden USB, and I think it has maybe one less album on it or something. But they've been very popular, and at shows, a lot of people choose those over CDs.
Well, I like having it all, but we have 6 minutes left, so I want to make sure I have time to play part of Mele Kalikimaka from one of your Christmas albums.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then we'll talk about that, because that'll give people that haven't heard your Christmas music an idea of what Hawaiian Christmas music can sound like from Jim Kimo Webb. Here we go. Thank you. I just love, that's one of my favorite Christmas songs anyway, and then that version of it is so amazing. I just love it.
Thank you, yeah. It was fun making the Christmas albums. The way they started was back in early, maybe 2001, I decided as sort of a Christmas card to record a Christmas song and
mm-hmm.
send it out with along with a little graphic, you know, Merry Christmas. So send it out to all my friends. That was
mm-hmm.
my, you know, Christmas card. And the first one I recorded was Silent Night, I like a slack key version of Silent Night. And then everybody loved it so much, the next year I did another one. I can't remember which one it was, maybe White Christmas or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I did that in 2002, I thought, well, maybe I should just do a whole Christmas album because everybody seemed to like it so much. And so I just basically recorded, 10 or 11 more songs and included those two on the first album, which is called Kimo's Hawaiian Slack Key Christmas. And that record has, for a while there on Amazon, it was the number one Hawaiian holiday album. I think for a few years anyway.
Mm.
But it's been very, very successful. And then I decided, well, there's a lot more Christmas songs, so I'll do another one. And I recorded Kiho'olu Christmas Time. And
mm-hmm.
both albums have really nice cover art by this great artist who lives on the Big Island, Karen Lobel Fried. And she does these wonderful, real folky, this really style, it's they're block prints, so she actually,
mm-hmm.
once she has a design, she carves it into some material. I don't think it's wood, it's something else, but she carves the design and then
mm-hmm.
she inks it and prints it. And then once she's got it the way she wants it, then she hand colors that printed ink. And it comes out with it. It's just a beautiful concept. So both albums have her artwork on the covers. And it's
beautiful.
Really special.
I'm looking at the covers right now, and I'm looking at them going, oh, that makes so much sense. That's how she does it, because
they're so block prints.
Gorgeous.
So she's an amazing artist, and she's, she's done a lot of books and children's books, and she's illustrated other books for people, and she's got a whole line of beautiful prints and a lot of wonderful stuff. She's an amazing artist.
Oh. Well, we've got 2 minutes left. What would you like to say to our listeners before we have to go?
I guess I could tell people that folks out there that I've got some holiday shows coming up. If you're in the LA area, you can go on my website. You can see the shows. I think they're December 16, 17. On December 18th, I'm doing a holiday live stream. So you can buy tickets on my website, which
mm-hmm.
is www.jimkimowest.com, JimKimowest.com. And it's going to be a holiday live stream, and I'm doing it from my studio. But we're going to have hula, and it's going to be really fun. We did one last year, and it was really, really super fun. So anybody anywhere in the world can log on to that. It'll be 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 18th.
4 p.m.
And you can get,
Pacific time, right?
4 p.m. Pacific, yes. And like I say, you can get tickets on my website for that. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
That sounds wonderful. And I highly recommend that people go to your website anyway and sign up for your newsletter and buy albums and see what's going on with you.
I have a new sort of special section of my website for subscribers. It's called Kimo's Corner. So, and there are going to be some Black Friday sales coming up for this holiday weekend. But the subscription service is just one price, and for the whole year, and you get performances throughout the year, and you get like a 20% discount on everything on the site, and a lot of different benefits. And there's a whole archive on there of unreleased material and videos from the tour and stuff that nobody else gets, that I don't post or make public, So that's kind of a cool thing. It's called Kimo's Corner, and that's on my website as well.
Well, that's exciting. We're going to get cut off in just a few seconds, but I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Mahalo, mahalo, mahalo for all of the ways that you live your music and add love and joy and happiness to the world.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Margo. Really, it's always fun.
It's always fun, and oh my gosh, I have to say I am so grateful for your music and so thankful and so feel so lucky that we know you. Well, have a wonderful month of December and holiday season, and I'm going to look into going to that show on the 18th online.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Yeah, sounds great. Okay,
alrighty.
Bye for now,
Thank you.
Bye. Aloha to you, and aloha to everyone listening. Bye for now, everyone.